Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're here, it's July 30th, 2013. We've got a jam-packed room once again. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We're joined by some special guests. We've got a writer from Savour Magazine, executive editor and beverages editor Betsy Andrews. So great to have you on board.
Thanks.
All right. And one of our top beer bar owners in New York City and restaurateurs, Joe Carroll from Spite and Dival, Fetisau, and many other really cool places. How you doing, Joe?
Doing very well.
All right. And we're going to be joined tonight by the crew of the Barman's Fund, which is this great group of brewery reps and bar owners who are doing some good work for the industry. And also Jeff O'Neill, the great brewer from Peekskill, is going to be joining us. Right now he's actually playing wiffle ball in the back of Roberta. So this is the way to round out. This is July Good Beer Month. There's only one or two days left. We've done a lot of things. I know tomorrow night at Spite and Dival, What are you guys doing? A really cool sour event.
Yeah,
right?
Just a bunch of sour beers for it's called the Midsummer Sour. You know, summertime is a good time to drink sour beer.
What I love about the Good Beer Seal is that I'm just trying to be like guys like Joe, because Joe's every time he sends out a note of the event he has, the list of beers, I'm always like, that's the event I want to go to. So, what are some of the beers that you have tomorrow night?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. I forget. I sent the email out couple of weeks ago. I don't even remember off the top of my head. I know we have a ton of sour kegs, and I've been putting them aside for both Zwan's a Day and this Midsummer Sour thing. So, I to be perfectly honest with you, off the top of my head, I forget which beers are going on what event, because Zwan's a Day is coming up as well in the fall.
I don't expect you to know everything that's going on, because you've been able to. Like, how many places do you have now?
I got six different businesses at the moment. One of which isn't a physical place. It's a distribution company for non-alcoholic beverages. And one is a place in Philly. The rest are all here in Brooklyn.
That's great. And I know you're doing something with Steven Starr, too, right?
Yes.
Wow.
That's well, we have Fetisau here, which is our barbecue place in Williamsburg. And then he and I have partnered up to open Feta in Philly and some other locations down the road.
I'll tell you, anytime I'm in Williamsburg, the first place I want to go is Spite and Dival.
Nice.
It's great to have you on the show. We got a lot to talk about. Betsy,
yeah.
You get to write about beer and cider on this national level. What are some of the things you're drinking now and some stories that you have coming up?
Well, lately we've been drinking a lot of Kolsch. Awesome summer ale, you know, just really incredibly refreshing and low in alcohol, but you know, more interesting than your average, you know, lager. It's made with ale yeast, and yet it's cold fermented and quite delicious, and just a little bit on the funky side. So I brought a couple of those.
All right, let's pop one and pour it. I'm going to get to that. The real story tonight is, and why we're all in this room. We're packed in here. It's our favorite brewer from New York State. This gentleman, Chief Jeff O'Neill from Peekskill Brewery. Everybody give him a round of applause.
Oh, because
Now, as a brief intro, if you ever had Ithaca Flower Power, that was one of this man's beers. But he's moved on to Peekskill, and there's a great story there. And let's dig into that, because I'm really, really digging the beers that you've made so far at Peekskill. And you guys just won at Tap New York, the best beer in New York, the higher standard,
the
IPA.
Cup.
Yeah. So tell us about... sorry, one second. Tell us about your move to Peekskill and what you're doing there, because you're making some great beer.
Right. So we spent the last 2012 building out an 80-year-old stone warehouse building on the waterfront in Peekskill, moving our business one block to the north, and we opened our doors at the new place just before Christmas. And right now, I feel like we're really hitting our stride. We've been open 6 or 7 months. We've been up to 13 or 14 house beers on. And we're starting to really, understand what we can do with our setup, and really getting to the point where we are making beers much more intentionally than we were at first.
Well, I know some of your more popular beers, like the Eastern Standard IPA, mm-hmm. and the Simple Sour. It's evolved already. Like, tell us about your sour program, because when it first came out, it wasn't that sour.
Oh, thanks.
But
oh,
the new one is almost more like a Berliner Weiss.
We've skewed it. Well, I don't know how much it's changed so much as it's sort of a living beer to begin with. So during different cycles, you know, different points in its lifespan as a packaged beer, it probably changes. Probably changes when it comes into your cooler between the point of the first pour and the last pour. Which is kind of cool. Thank you. But it's a beer that's really, really done well in the local market. Obviously, there's a thirst for a draft sour beer that's approachable like that, and there's not, you know, too many people doing it. So it's a niche that we've found that works well for us. It's interesting that it's our, you know, second best seller as a draft beer to the local you know, wholesale market, but it doesn't do quite that well in our brewery. It's more like, you know, five or seven down the line.
I like the model that you guys have. So it's kind of like it's a brew pub, it's a destination place, it's a restaurant.
Yeah. It's a really, like, it's a dramatic building that, like I say, is right there on the waterfront. Great views of the river and the you know, the gateway to the Hudson Valley right there in front of us, right in front of our front door. So it's really sort of a, you know, dramatic place to be. And we do a great job with the restaurant side of it as well, and the hospitality. And, you know, like I say, we're hitting our stride and really figuring out what we can do with what we've got.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Joe's got this list.
To be here.
I found my email that has all the beers if you'd like to know. We're pouring the Allagash Confluence, the Alvaline Wild Undressed, the Lover Beer Madamin, the Cisco Lady of the Woods, and the Cisco Montmorency Creek, and the Hofstetten Barley Wine Sour.
I didn't even know that Cisco in they brew in Nantucket.
In Nantucket, right.
I didn't know they made sours.
Oh, boy. They make fantastic beers. I was there 3 weeks ago. Sorry to jump in. But I was there 3 weeks ago on vacation. And actually, I was there with Sean McCain, who's outside and joining us in a little bit. The brewer there tasted us on some beers there that had a distinct character that's unlike any sour beer I've had anywhere ever. You could taste the sea air in their barrel-aged beers. Yeah, and it could have been the context of being there in the sea air, but it was really focused.
Scotch producers say that all the time, that in Islay in particular.
And they have a distillery there, and they make an American-style scotch that they call Notch.
Right.
And it's scored really high as a scotch style.
And it picks up that sort of briny
sea character. It's noticeable. And I think it's noticeable in their wines as well.
That's interesting, because I found that in Mexican craft brewing, Mexican craft beers and also Mexican wines.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these are made in Baja. They're made on the coast. It's their salty soil. And there's just this delicious brininess.
Part of it is always the suggestibility of it as well. Yeah. But it was, in that context, it was noticeable.
And I can imagine being there kind of puts you in that context.
And
I'd
expect that Lady of the Woods to be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
anything else.
We've had these now.
It's a nice beer.
Through this past year, and I've been waiting to put these on. Really excited to taste them. So pretty cool.
Joe, when you do your events, I mean, how do you hold on to beers for a while? And
it depends. I'm doing it less and less now for multiple reasons. Look, one, most beers just don't hold up very well. I hate going longer than a year with anything, really, unless it's, you know, north of 10% and you know, particularly dark. The other thing is, there's so much good beer available now. It's, I mean, really an embarrassment of riches right now compared to where Spite and I will be 10 years old in September. When we opened 10 years ago, Cisco was one of the few American craft beers we could get in New York at the time. And then they actually disappeared for a little while. There was very little beer 10 years ago, craft-wise, American craft. And what was available was just very basic stuff for the most part. There is so much beer now and so much amazing beer every single week. This might sound crazy, but I don't know how it is for you anymore, but I've basically stopped ordering kegs during the week, other than very easy drinking stuff, pills, lager, wheat beer, IPAs, stuff that I'm going through many kegs of a week, because this stuff just shows up at my door now. It's you know, a lot of it is allocated, and a lot of it every week is just more and more stuff. I can't even keep up with it.
You're one of those sweet places where everybody's sending you their best stuff.
Yeah, we're lucky awesome. That we do get kind of, you know, pick of the litter.
And talk about what we're drinking. Betsy, first poured for us the Reisdorf Kölsch, which is great summer beer. But you're how many beers did you bring? Because we're talking sours and you pulled out a sour.
Well, you know, this is my job. It's an embarrassment of riches, similar to what you're talking about. And, you know, one of the joys, and also it's a little bit bittersweet for me, is that I get a lot of beers that are not necessarily available nationally. They're very, very micro brewed, and as a national publication, I can't necessarily do a lot of writing about them. But these guys I really loved, and I'm so happy to give them some attention right now. This is Almanac. They're San Francisco brewers. They were home brewers, these two guys who met at some home brewing event and started making these beers. One of them's a graphic artist. That's why we have such beautiful labels. And they do this beer where they really care about terroir. So it's farm to brewery. So, you know, they tell you what farms the fruits came from, what farms everything came from. It's all local. It's all organic. This is a Flanders-style red ale, very sort of a Rodenbach kind of inspired beer made with sour cherries from Northern California. And the beers are just dynamite that these guys are making. They're just launching in Washington State today, so hopefully they'll end up in New York eventually.
You know, my argument, even though we have all these beers here, and I tell this to brewers all the time from other parts of the country, that I don't care what market they go to, they have to be in New York. It's kind, to me, it's a little crazy to not have you. If you want to be a world-class brewer, how could you not have your beer in New York City? And really, not so much about the beer bars, but access to all the restaurants we have here and the food culture that we have here.
Sure, but then some of the beers, I mean, for instance, like, you know, one of the great sours in this country, Russian River. They're
right.
Not in New York.
I agree. I've been yelling at Vinny for years about it.
Let's get Jeff. What do you think about the spirit from the Almanac? And I think I want to see this more towards sours, because Jeff has got a lot to say about sours, and I think this might be a good direction
great
for the show.
The cherry really stands out. I think if you know, I'm not familiar with these guys, but I think they may have collaborated with my friend Steve Altamari that opened High Water. I want to say maybe they share some fermentation space or a brew house somewhere.
Yes.
That's a really nice beer.
So, Jeff, tell us about your, you know,
especially
you,
after
you
wiffle
came
ball.
Into, you create a, you guys are playing wiffle ball in the backyard of Roberta's, and you almost missed the show. I was so mad.
I hit a home run out in a more
a wiffle ball home run. I love that.
No, it's a home
I bet
run.
My 10-year-old
That's a home run. It's not a wiffle ball.
We need some 10-year-old kids here, you know?
All right. I'm right here.
I love that. But tell us about your sour program, man, because that's, you know, your simple sour, it's becoming more and more sour. When it first came out, it wasn't as sour.
Well, we're lucky enough to have a cool ship in our brewery, and I've gotten to start to tinker with that a little bit this spring and into the summer. We have a few beers. One that I brought a growler of, I don't know if it made it in here yet, and another one that we're going to have at dinner later on, where we've used our cool ship for a long weekend of fermentation with a farmhouse style yeast or Brettanomyces. And we've also, just in the last month or so, launched a lambic inspired program with microbes that we harvested from the room where our cool ship is that we grew up in, used to inoculate a batch in the cool ship while I went actually on vacation to Massachusetts. When I went to Cisco, I locked the door of the room and let it go for a week. Got some photographs texted to me while I was there, and fermentation finished, and it's really at an early point expressing promise as a beer in a year or more. So we're playing around with a lot of things. We're trying, you know, like every small brewery, trying to take advantage of our strengths as a site and downplay our weaknesses as a brewery. So it's something that I hope we can sort of you know, push in, get some inertia going as years go past. It's a very long-term program, like anybody will tell you. You can't just make a beer like this, the beer that we're drinking, in a month. So it's,
well, you're doing a great job. We have a lot more to talk about tonight. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. clear the halls. This is something.
You're listening to Southern Pretender by Four Lincolns on Beer Sessions Radio.
If our lives depend on it, so political, analytical, intellectual, ineffectual.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today's podcast is brought to you by Sean McCain of the Bronx Brewery and thegreatbrewers.com. Some of these beer boys are out there playing wiffle ball, and whether they're 10 or 47, they can still play. You guys are awesome wiffle ball players. But this ties it in. They're here in the spirit of camaraderie because Patrick Fondulier has to leave. He's the great Smutty Nose rep that some of you in Columbus, Ohio know of, and others of you in here in New York. And we're really proud. Last month, Patrick texted and said, I'm at an account in Columbus, Ohio, and they heard me on Beer Sessions Radio. What was the name of that store? Give him a microphone. Come on. Get Patrick on. And Sean, stop talking off mic. You're in trouble, man.
Stop talking in general.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to like this, but I can't remember the name of the store. Actually, the end of the story is right after I spoke to those guys. I drove back to New York, and I did a meeting at Union Beer at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got there at about 8:55 after driving for 12 hours. So my memory on what was going on in Columbus is a little bit hazy.
So Patrick wasn't on the air, so he was about to leave. But we said, we'll get you on the air. So he didn't leave. I love this guy.
I got to run. I'm going to plug my – I'm doing a 15-line event at Rattle and Hum tonight, which is also a good beer cereal bar.
That's good, but what about the Barman's Fund?
Well, these guys can tell you about the Barman's Fund. We have Hillary Christian from the Barman's Fund here, and Albert Antonucci from Greenwood Park, as well as some of the other brewery reps that are involved. Andrew McLeod from Six Point, Sean McCain from the Bronx Brewery. And Albert actually came up with the idea of doing a golf tournament to support the Barman's Fund and the work that they do. And they'll be able to tell you more about that after I split. But we, you know, he asked me if I would be involved, and I got together with these guys and asked everybody to come on board, which they did. And you know, it's coming up on August 19th. It's going to be a really great day, and like I said, they can tell you more about it.
Awesome. Thanks, Patrick.
Cheers.
So who wants to introduce the Barman's Fund?
Sure, I can do that, Jimmy. Thanks. I'm Hillary. My name's Hillary Krishnan. I'm the director of the New York City chapter here. And we started the Barman's Fund 2 years ago and some change. Brian Floyd, who's our founder, is now opening up a chapter down in... There goes Pat, is opening up a chapter down in Austin. And so we have chapters now in New Orleans and Austin and Charlotte, North Carolina, and here in New York. And just in about 2 years and change, we're creeping up on $150,000. And the mission behind what we do is really simple. We're a group of bartenders that pledge one shift's tips from one shift a month, and we pool it. And we take that money and we do local projects for nonprofit organizations that we believe in. We keep it non-political. We keep it as tangible as possible. So we try to buy what the organizations need. So we buy carloads of diapers for maternity shelters in Gowanus. We bought a $15,000 coposcope for the Mount Sinai Adolescent Wing to help detect early signs of cervical cancer. We've funded a free medication assistance program at the Brooklyn Free Clinic in Bed-Stuy, and we've given kids toys and shelters at Christmas time. So the range of projects of what we do, we've done a lot for Sandy relief too since the storm. So that's it.
That was speechless, awesome. Right?
I drink to that.
Yeah, let's just drink to it.
Drink.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep you guys on the show, but that's one star. But I want to go back. We got Jeff O'Neill in the room from Peekskill and Joe from Spite and Dival, and Betsy. I don't even know your last name.
Andrews.
So Jeff, sour beers. So like, let's go back. Let's go way back with you. So everyone knows the Ithaca Flower Power IPA, and but you've got the Eastern Standard IPA, which seems to trump it. So
well, it's not a contest.
Do you want to talk about IPAs?
I like IPAs. IPAs are what I like to drink on any given day. I feel like we're trying to trend IPAs down a little bit in alcohol and sweetness, which I think is for everybody's benefit. And that's where I think the you know, the zeitgeist in that style is currently headed. So at our pub now, we're offering, you know, four or five IPAs at a time, different hop variety, well, loosely IPAs. Sometimes they're black coffee IPAs, and sometimes they're half IPAs. But it certainly is, when you look at the sales trends of craft beer in general, IPAs are what people are generally looking for. And it's interesting because it's something that wouldn't have been our sales leader at our own pub 2 years back. Certainly people's palates are trending that way, for better or worse.
You're saying 2 years ago IPAs wouldn't have been?
Right now we make a beer that's like, it's essentially an IPA. It's called Amazeballs. It's a hop forward pale ale that's as hoppy as anything else right out there. 2 years ago, that would have been lost on our Westchester clientele.
Got it, right.
Today, that's no longer the case. When we can keep it on, it's our number one selling beer.
But do you really feel that the general beer drinking population, that IPAs is trending toward IPAs, or is it that you are educating people up in Westchester who kind of really weren't even drinking a lot of beer, and so they're getting more interested in
when you
flavor.
Look at the depletions numbers, it's IPAs are leading the overall, they're their lead horse right now for craft style wise. Certainly chicken or the egg, right?
I think many people, when you say craft beer, they assume it's an IPA fits
right,
that
that's
style.
Sort of the first go to yeah. in someone's head. True. And do you guys do a pills or Helles?
We do. We do pills. We have we also have a nice rye lager. We try to cover the whole spectrum. So
and the IPA way outsells the pills, or is it close?
The group IPA crushes okay. everything right. else. Amazeballs right. crushes everything else. Where it would have been our cream ale a right. year ago, that one is easy to keep up with now.
Because I find
customer has transitioned to.
You know what else is? I think also that don't discount you. I mean, you coming into Peace Skull and the new brewery, I mean, you've really put this big dot on the map where, you know, you are really one of the finer New York State breweries. So I think that people are going to be drawn to...
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. But I think that... I do think this is a general trend.
Are you finding that with men and women?
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, Amazeballs is a weird example because it's a catchy name that people either turns people off or brings them in right away.
It's Amazeballs!
I'm really offended by the name.
Get him! Somebody get him a mic. Come on. Get Sean McCain. We just tried.
You need to make a beer called Amaze Boobs.
I'm ambient noise.
Get Sean on. Sean, you got to talk for a second. Sean, what you just poured
us a milk stout called Amaze Boobs.
Here's the lead in to Sean McCain being here is that his entire brewery's business model is pale ales and hop forward beers. He can probably speak better to that as a segment of the. You know, wholesale market than I can. You know, so much of our focus is on trying to provide a broad spectrum of styles to folks who walk through our doors. And then, you know, there's this separate business of
pale ales.
So, Sean, you're here for the Barman's Fund, but just there's a couple of beers right. you wanted to pitch. Let us know.
Well, right now we have our Rye Pale Ale, which is the second beer that we ever made. It's coming out on Friday, which is a 6.3%. Wait a minute. I don't want to pitch my beer. I want to talk with all these great people. You had a great
just
question.
Just pitch it for a second.
I totally
for
want a to second. Pitch my beer. So
Sean, pitch your
all right,
beer.
So we have our Rye Pale Ale coming out on Friday, which is our fall seasonal. We do with Chinook and Columbus, 7% rye malt. It's phenomenal. A little spice, but it's still balanced. We only make pale ales because we believe that the market deserves to have one consistent manufacturer of pale ales. And the pale ale segment, as Jeff was saying before, the IPAs is really the biggest segment. And most breweries sort of put their stamp on the map by saying, I make this IPA, and this is what these people want to drink, so I'm going to make this IPA. We took a different tact on that by saying, well, actually, pale ales are a little bit misrepresented in the market. And so let's make a quality pale ale, which is the Bronx Pale Ale, an American pale ale, 6.3%. I call it American aggression meets English sensibility. West Coast hops meets English malts, Maris Otter meets Cascade and Centennial. And it's one of those beers that you can drink a lot of. It's not going to destroy your palate with bitterness. It's going to carry over with maltiness and a little bit of sweetness, and then we get to play around with our seasonals. So it allows us to have a little bit of fun with, like for right now, our summer pale ale is out. We use an experimental hop that's very citrusy and lemony, dry hop with lemon peel.
So, Sean, when you guys were playing wiffle ball in the back,
we won.
What's your go-to beer?
It was Bronx Pale Ale.
All right, now let's jump over. Andrew McLeod from... Wait.
Well, I'm
of course.
My Bronx Pale Ale.
I drank Peaceful Eastern Standard last night, too, and I have a hangover. So, a good one. Okay. Andrew.
Yeah, my go-to? Zima, typically. Okay, so...
You just poured us a beer. I'm trying to get through this, guys.
I'm trying to be real quick.
Because like Sean McCain's walking around with his little coasters and stuff.
So I brought in two beers today. One of us from our Spice of Life series. We put out a new IPA every single month. So it's all the same metrics, same ABV, IBU, SRM, so on and so forth. But it's just a different hop every time. This one actually hasn't hit the market yet. It will in a couple days. And we're using the Simcoe hop. The other beer I brought in is from our Mad Scientist series. We do six of those a year. It's called the Bell Jam. It's our first time brewing it for larger scale production. It's an Abbey Ale blended with a raspberry jalapeno jam from the Jam Shop, which is a local spot in Red Hook.
You guys are great things at 6 points. Let's put Betsy. So yeah. You think the 6 point should make a Maze Boob beer? What would it be? You said something earlier.
I said Peak Skill should make an Maze Boob beer. It would be a milk stout.
Does that what? Guinness is good for you, right? That one.
It doesn't have to be a nice.
So is it true that they used to, in the old days, they would advertise.
Do you know what I tell people who say things like that?
Thank you.
It'll be a great day when you have a brewery and you get to name beers.
Okay.
Anyways, but let's just little history, guys. So in the old days in Guinness, before these whatever, they used to say that Guinness was good for you, and they actually would give it to women in maternity wards, right?
Yeah, the lore is that it actually makes you lactate, but I think that what the truth of it is that it relaxes you enough that you can lactate.
And then, if you've had a good beer, it relaxes the baby and puts it to sleep.
There you go.
I know about breastfeeding. I can tell you that. We used to have breastfeeding clubs at my old restaurant. My wife would come in and three of her friends, and the kitchen would just stop and stare, and everyone was happy. So, wow. Jimmy. Joe, what about the IPA thing, man?
Really?
Do you put IPAs on draft?
Of course.
Do you like IPAs?
No, of course. Yeah, though I found it interesting that Jeff was saying, just 2 years ago, he doesn't think people would be drinking IPAs, because I kind of look at it like IPAs, its boom was like 8 years ago or so, a while ago, and that the sector has moved on a little past
Williamsburg
that.
Williamsburg and Westchester.
That's true. It is true to agree. Yeah, and I'm also
right,
thinking
which,
about
which
like
goes
the West
back
Coast
to my goes back to my former question, which is that you've got a crowd that you're now educating, up in Westchester, and that maybe the Williamsburg crowd has moved on now. They're on to sours, and they'll right. be something else.
The other thing I find...
Talking
I
Vanguard as opposed to maybe the mainstream of the American...
Yeah, or... Right. And again, I'm drinkers. Also thinking West Coast and what was going on with IPAs out there a decade or 15 years ago, and how long that took to get to the East Coast and really have impact. But I find it interesting, too, because we... we have all sorts of crazy stuff on all the time and consistently. And I think people come to Spite and Dival to drink really interesting and kind of obscure stuff. But consistently, our best-selling beer is whatever the Pilsner is that's on tap at the moment.
Even at your place? Wow.
By far. I mean, it's not even close.
I think that's incredible.
Completely isolated.
Yeah, I don't know why exactly, but it's true. I mean...
You have awesome Pilsners.
We
you
do.
You don't have,
Of course, no doubt. And the other thing, too, is I would... venture to say that Spite and Dival gets a less kind of beer-centric crowd than, first of all, most people would even think, and certainly than most other beer bars. We get a lot of locals during the week, and for the most part, they want to drink Pilsner, and like a really good lager. And Pale Ale, we have a really difficult time selling Pale Ale, because I think it falls in between those two gaps of not being Pilsner and not being IPA, at least mentally for people.
I agree with what he said. I mean, I'll tell you what, like when a normal person's going to walk into a bar, no matter what their portfolio is or their menu that they have, there's going to be a large contingent of people that are going to go, what can you have? It's a light beer. So there's your Kolsch. There's your Pilsner. You know, there's your lager that is often, I even found that at Rosamund Grill today. Like, I asked the same question to Chase, and he was like, yeah, you know, it's Riser of Kolsch if it's on, because there are so many great, amazing other beers that are there, but that's one that they can, their staff can gravitate and push towards that they know is going to be a quality.
It's also true. Betsy brought Kolsch too.
I did bring Kolsch. You know, I really enjoy the style. Look, I'm from Philadelphia, and that is historically a lager town.
The whole state, actually.
Absolutely.
Is that why you have that very classy accent, Betsy?
Thanks. When I wrote about American lagers, I went to Wisconsin. I mean, and I went to Milwaukee, and you know, I just, that history is fantastic, and the, some of the beers they're making out there, Lakefront, I mean, they're making just delicious lager. And so I think that, you know, we all know why everybody makes ale. It's faster. You can move, you know, your product more quickly. You can start making money. But I feel like I'm looking forward to a little bit of a lager renaissance in this country as people, you know, accumulate a little capital, you know, and can actually have the beer sit for a little bit.
No, definitely. There's a great thing going on with the beer. Hey, someone from the Barman's Group, how the hell can we learn more about you guys?
All right. Well, we are going to be having a golf tournament, which is what brings us all
but
together
quick,
here. Yeah.
What's the website?
Oh, the barmansfund.org.
All right. Yeah. Hold on a second. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Okay, guys. Trust me. Keep it moving. All right.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
This one's called Everything She Touches Turns to Gold by Four Lincolns.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're here at Roberta's in Bushwick. Some of the brewers and beer guys, Sean from Bronx and Jeff from Peekskill and everybody, they're playing crazy wiffle ball in the backyard of Roberta's. And there's a great backyard, and I'll tell you what's coming up. We're really proud of our network, heritageradionetwork.org. And in that same backyard on August 11th, there's the Hawaiian Barbecue with Delaney Barbecue, and some really interesting foods and drinks, including Empire Brewing, and music by Odetta Hartman, who I know, the secret of Odetta Hartman, her dad owns Two Boots, and she's one of the coolest folk musicians in the East Village, and she's played at my place, Jimmy's number 42.
Is her real name Odetta?
Her name, well, I don't know, Odetta Hartman
because,
is her...
Because, you know, there was a famous...
Yeah, oh, we know Odetta. Right. You know Odetta,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
But anyways, there's a cool stuff going down in the same backyard where Jeff O'Neill and Sean McCann were just playing wiffle ball, August 11th, Hawaiian Barbecue. And again, if you become a member of HeritageRadioNetwork.org, that's one of those special events you can go to. So cheers to that. What did you guys think of the room? What did you think of the backyard, Jeff?
Oh, it's amazing.
You could do wiffle ball,
oh yeah,
barbecue.
Plus we won.
Oh, yeah. So who are you playing against? So this is like this little inner world of New York beer. So it's like you.
Mike Benz and I, you know.
So Mike's what? He's like your what? Guy from Peekskill?
He's our brewery ambassador, our sales guy, our fun, handsome little friend.
And he set up a tasting tonight at Jimmy's number 43.
Yep, and we're
Sean McCain
tasting,
was playing
a dinner.
Oh, a dinner! That's right,
full-fledged dinner,
five-course dinner
at your restaurant.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
with special beers that you brought
special
from
beers?
The brewery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Tim Stendel from Union, right? He was out
Tim
there.
Tim and Matt Lefkowitz. So two guys that are responsible for helping us to, you know, sell our beer in the places that we want to sell them. And we, you know, we beat the hell out of them on that wiffle ball
Jeff
field.
Came in here to have this interview. I stood in for him. I was not on the lineup. I was written in the last minute. We went to 9. Thanks.
All right. Well, Sean, you're amazing. But, you know, so Jeff, that's a good thing. Let's tell us about your experience. You know, you guys are a small brewery, brew pub, you're growing. and you hook up with a distributor. You want to talk a little bit about that relationship and that side of what you do?
Yeah, sure, sure. It's a big part of, you know, this business in and of itself is a lot more about the relationships than I think a lot of people know. We work, you know.
Jeff, did you bring any growlers from Peekskill?
I did. I brought a couple
of growlers. Let's drink some Peekskill. Come on. It's the Peekskill show. I'm dying for it.
Yeah. So here we actually. Well, do you want me to talk or pour?
Well,
I
can pour for you. One of the guys can pour.
So we were talking about what now?
I don't know. Your relationship with the distributor and how
we work hand in hand with Union Beer and also with CBGNY, which is their new arm that's located upstate on the west side of the Hudson River in New Paltz. That's sort of our local
warehouse. It's like the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, they cover from our neck of the woods, the gateway to the Hudson Valley, I think all the way up to Albany. I'm not exactly sure what their footprint is, but we've worked really closely with them. And, you know, they've been really excited about having what they perceive to be, you know, a really premium local product in their portfolio. And we've developed some great relationships with like-minded pubs and restaurants in the city and the Hudson Valley, including Roberta's, our host today. They've been a great supporter of local beer.
Jeff, Joe's awesome. What are some places in the Hudson Valley besides Peekskill Brewery where we can get your beer?
Well, I want to give a shout out to my local. It's a place called The Hop, and it's in Beacon. If anybody's ever had a chance to make it up to Beacon, they know that it's a really fun town with a lot of great things going on. But I think what The Hop is doing with beer and food is really singular. It's just 10 minutes away from where I live. But there are a number of great, you know, things popping up in the Hudson Valley. It's sort of, you know, one step behind the city, but we're making good headway, and we're I think the sort of tag team, two very different approaches between us and Captain Lawrence. We're making a lot of headway educating people in Westchester and points north.
So in Peekskill, I know, let's talk a little about the local Hudson Valley color. Mm-hmm. Color. Is that a good word, Betsy? I don't know. I'm not a writer. I need you to write for me. But Birdsell House.
Yeah, of course. They are our most local account to us. The place has been open about 3 or 4 years, and I think they just had their third anniversary a few months back. Same team that owns the Blind Tiger. My friend Tim Ranke, who managed the Spring Lounge for a long time, moved up to the Hudson Valley. He actually lives in Beacon. Again, great place to live and be. Birdsall House has become a total gastro destination. Great account for us, great account for Sean.
Tim Ranke and John Sharp, by the way, both John Sharp and Ohio University alumni, just like myself. There you go. Thank you very much.
great guys, good friends, and we co-op a lot of things to sort of spearhead craft beer initiation.
I just got our
backyard.
Going back to Pat Fondillier from Andrew, why don't you read it off to us? So this is our Columbus connection. People actually listen to the show. So.
I don't know if I get the same text. It's like, are you still doing that stupid show? No, just kidding. The name of that account, I love your show, Jimmy. The name of that account is Columbus. In Columbus was, I think it's Weiland's Gourmet Market.
Yeah, Weiland's. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. I was born in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, my family still lives in Columbus, Ohio. It's less than a half mile from my house. Weiland's Gourmet on Indianola Avenue between Brevoort and Torrance.
The buyer's name was Adam.
Thanks, John. That was absolutely
so
necessary.
They listened to Beer Sessions. Hello to Weiland's Market and Adam. You guys listen to Beer Sessions Radio. All right. So, Jeff.
Can I just ask, are you finding that there's more interesting things going on with beer and food?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. There are places opening. I mean,
you know, beyond the burger.
The velocity of them opening down here is crazy. I mean, still, there's craft beer place opening every week in this city. Sure. But up in our neck of the woods, for sure, there are places that are really embracing it's primarily, I think, a move toward localism. For better or worse sometimes. But sure, there are burger places opening that aren't selling Bud Light anymore.
Or there are restaurants that aren't selling burgers and, you know, pairing their food with beer, which is...
Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
Cool.
And the Birdsall is a great example of that.
I want to get Joe in because, you know, Joe always seems to find all the new small breweries that are coming up. in addition to Peekskill, what are some of the other new small breweries in New York that you featured at Spite and Dival?
Well, a lot of them, unfortunately, aren't as local as Peekskill. I wish there were a lot more. It's, you know, as Jeff said, Peekskill and Captain Lawrence are head and shoulders above most of the other local. Not all, but certainly most of the other local craft breweries. Prairie Brewing in Oklahoma is just making its way up here, and they brew some really fantastic stuff. Hoffenstark up in Quebec, just about a half hour north of Montreal, one of my all-time favorites. There's so much beer now, and so there's been other times where there's been lots of beer, but there's so much great beer and so many different kinds of great beers. It's just overwhelming. Before I opened up Spite and the first 5 years or so of running Spite and Dival, it was very easy for me to really feel in touch with everything that was going on. It's moving so fast now, and there's so much stuff out there and so much access to it all that I'm even overwhelmed. I can't keep up with
it. Yeah, there was a time you could almost keep up with it.
Yeah, there really was.
No, you can't. It's local.
It seems like it wasn't that long ago. But
Jeff, what did you just pour for us? Because I'm smiling. This is an awesome beer.
So that's Amazeballs.
Amazeballs.
The interest, I think that the thing of note about this beer, it's a single hop beer. It's made with an Australian variety called Galaxy. But even beyond that, the interesting thing is that we don't add any hops until we're completely done boiling this wort.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why the hops taste so fresh.
Yeah,
so
you get that real like back end. You get the perception of bitterness, but then it sort of is very quick in the back, and it disappears off your palate. Low alcohol, it's under 5% call a session beer these days, or what some people call a session beer these days.
See, it's funny because you know you're saying, well, okay, this is an IPA, and yes, it's true.
This
when
is
first,
it
tastes like an IPA, and yet it doesn't last like an IPA. It doesn't, you know, hit you like an IPA. This is a beer to drink with food.
But this beer, I think, is very firmly rooted in the tradition of American IPA what some people think of as over hopping, but I think that this is the definitive style of American brewing
Amazeballs.
At this point.
Jeff, what did you say again?
IPA.
We were trying to suggest
not palate, my though. Style of brewing, but IPA itself.
Jeff, we were trying to suggest names to breweries, and what did you say again?
Names to breweries.
Don't suggest names to breweries. Amazeballs to something. But.
Amazeballs. Well, oh, right. So we're brewing a beer tomorrow. That is going to be in this same family, but fermented with Brettanomyces instead of anale yeast, and it'll be called Awesome Sauce.
Nice. One thing I want to get Betsy on the end
because so, we can because we can for everybody
we're
who's asking.
Down, but I really want
why
Betsy
does he do
in.
Stupid names?
There are so many guests in this room, and it's an awesome experience. Right. And if any of you listeners ever want to come or to show up at Roberta's 4:45 on a Tuesday, you can come
on the
show with us.
But.
And Sean's feeling bummed because he's used to being our star, but these guys are here for the Barman's Fun, and when we close again, they'll tell you about it. But the real show tonight, Betsy Andrews from Savoir. Betsy, again, so you're being in a national publication. I know you have constraints, but you also get to taste a lot of small local
That's right.
microbreweries.
That's
so
right.
What are some that you've tasted besides Almanac that you like that you can't always feature in your national magazine?
So, you know, we're nationally distributed magazine, but we travel internationally. I mean, we cover things globally. So another American microbrewery that I love is Marshall Wharf. There's another these. They're in Belfast, Maine.
Yeah.
Right there. They have a
you know it, Joe?
I've heard of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
They have a brewery. They have a brew pub called Three Tides, and they make an oyster stout where they just put, you know, like just pounds and pounds of fresh oysters straight from the water right in front of them right into the boil, and wow, man, that's one awesome beer. Can't get it outside of there, but it's worth going up to Belfast, Maine for. The other thing that was really interesting to me was going to Belgium and looking at what Belgian brewers are doing now, because the fact of the matter is that the intense interest in craft beer in the United States is absolutely influencing the Belgians.
Oh, sure. It's like through the looking glass.
It is wild. So you go there, and all of a sudden, there are all these young guys.
Not just the Belgians,
energized.
Either. Yeah, I mean, the even the Germans at this point, which is really mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, so it's I mean, we're talking like very traditional folks who, you know, keep their own counsel, very syncratic, don't listen to anybody else, and all of a sudden they're just, wow, they're interested in international styles, but they really want to keep their focus on what they're doing themselves. They're full of energy, and they're making really cool stuff. And one of the coolest breweries there, this is 10 like kilometers, 10 clicks from the French border. It's called Der Plucker. This guy is a hops farmer, and he's brewing beer, like, you know, with his own hops right there, teensy tiny. Doesn't have distribution, but he's worth going to visit because it's just the...
It's the local beer movement in Belgium.
Look beer in Belgium, you know? I mean, these guys are finally getting beyond, like, sort of like the global, you know, lager style back to like a real Belgian tradition, and it's because of American consumers. And so, anyway, I just wanted to say that I wanted to. I don't know if you guys know this guy, Carol DeGoe. He's from a brewery called DeCam. He's a lambic brewer. And you know what? He's a young guy, and he makes incredible beer. So this is I brought this to
Betsy. Just to wrap it up. So, like for us, like you know, as beer bar owners, we have reps come to us and they sample beer, or different brewery guys like Jeff travel. So you, as like a national writer, how do you get your beer? Do people just send beer to you all the time?
People send beer to me, yeah. But I also, I mean, I go and I drink at places like Spuitendijvel and taste something really fantastic. I had the Peekskill Simple Sour at Torst.
Oh, great.
And remember, Gene, we were talking
about... We're in Torst?
Yeah.
Oh, I've made it.
And we were blown away by that, you know? And so we were, you know, so, you know, I go out and I drink around and I read about things. But people do send it. But it's harder with beer. I get sent a lot less beer. If there's anybody out there who would like to send me beer, please do. Because I get
sent
a lot less beer.
So where do they send it to? Savoir Magazine,
15 East 32nd Street, 12th floor, 10016. It doesn't matter. Send it to a floor. I'll find it.
It's not the 11.
But no, but I just, you know, it's harder because of the distribution issues with craft brewing. It's harder to get beer, but
that's cool. So that's one of the perks of your jobs.
Oh yeah,
perks,
I like that.
Your job.
Yeah. I want to say to everybody, we have this awesome room of so much talent. Betsy Andrews from Savoir, Jeff O'Neill, the brewer from Peekskill, Jill Carroll, Spuitendijvel, Fetisau, so many other things, and so many others. We're going to let the Barman's Group close it out. Sean McCain, take it over. Again, tell us about your golf tournament and what the hell the Barman's thing is.
August 19th, we're doing a huge golf scramble at Diker Heights. We're going to start it off at noon at Greenwood Park, and then from there, there's going to be 36 groups of four.
And what is the Barman's Fund again?
The Barman's
Fund. Because I thought this was about, like, an old bar guy, a bartender dies, and you give him money.
Yeah, you know.
So I'm not looking for that. That's not in my future.
Jimmy, if we're out of time, you should shut up. I'm going to leave it over to my darling right there.
Yeah.
You talk about
thank
the Barman's
Group. Yeah, so... I mean, I feel totally spoiled to be in this room with all of these fabulous people in this industry. I work in craft beer bars down in Brooklyn, and I have a number of colleagues. And what we do is we pool our tips, and we donate those tips to local organizations in need, tangible gifts. And these crazy cats at Bronx Brewery, at Greenwood Park, at Smutty Nose, at Six Point.
Smutty Nose, Lagunitas, Smutty Nose, Blue Point,
yeah,
Six Point.
Sierra Nevada, Blue
Abita,
Point.
Sierra Nevada.
Everybody is just being so kind.
There's
to
an
the
opportunity for everybody to sponsor either a golf court, a hole, bring four people together. Basically, there's 36 different groups of four persons that can come out, play golf for a day, hang out, and raise a lot of money that we can
drink great beer
that we can put together to support local, actionable, nonprofit, apolitical groups. So basically, any opportunity that you want to have to put your name out there in the world, if you're in the beer world, come on, man, check it out.
Come
go
drink,
to
drink
Greenwood
with purpose.
Park,
drink good
BK.com, GreenwoodParkBK.com.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jimmy.
We'll do a quick roundup. There's some special events going on tonight at Jimmy's Number 43, our long-awaited Peekskill Brewery beer dinner.
If you are looking for something to do in Manhattan in the next couple of hours, we're going to have a five-course dinner at Jimmy's Restaurant with five very thoughtfully...
And the beers include?
Beers include
Simple Sour.
Simple Sour.
Share of the Rainbow.
Share of the Rainbow, which is a collaboration we did with Allagash and Blue Jacket, a Cool Ship fermented wit beer.
Eastern Standard IPA.
Eastern Standard IPA. Higher Standard Imperial IPA, which, again, was the winner of the Governor's Cup. It's not like the Mayor's Cup, it's Governor.
We're surprised.
And we also sent you Vaporizer, our new Imperial Stout, which is absurd.
That's a very interesting name.
It was a very interesting day.
That's another story, but I think we're going to have you on again, Jeff, and talk about the beers that you make, because I find...
I hope so. It's always a pleasure.
Dude, your beers keep getting better, and I know that it's like, kind of like a chef knowing his realm.
If the beers aren't getting better, you're doing something
but
wrong.
But you're in your brewery. You're getting to know it better, right?
I think so. I mean, but that's just my opinion.
And I'm seeing it coming down the pike.
Thanks, man.
All right. And tomorrow night, this is, again, the July Good Beer Month. We're closing it out. Wednesday, July 31st. You might be listening to this after it happens, but, again, Good Beer Seal and Edible Manhattan partnered on Good Beer 5 years ago. And it's still going on, and that's where we'll give out our Good Beer Seal Awards. You can find out all the new great craft beer bars in New York City that are being recognized. And again, August 11th, support Heritage Radio Network, which is our network, the Hawaiian Barbecue. And it's in the backyard where these gentlemen, Bronx Brewery, Peekskill, they're playing wiffle ball, but it's really an outstanding outdoor food event venue. How can they let you play wiffle ball in like this super food venue? I don't know. What do you think, Betsy? Should we call the cops or something? I don't know. Wiffle ball.
We did have to jump the fence.
I figured you did that. So all right. And again, Joe from Spite Dial. Every time you come on, he's a real star of the beer world. He's a guy that we all want to be. Yeah, everybody wants to go to Spite Dial, dude. Come on and drink Pilsner, right?
I want to meet Joe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And we'll thank our sponsors at GreatBrews.com, again, who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. And we just learned today that GreatBrews.com has signed on again for the fourth year. They will be the sponsor and giving the money to Heritage Radio Network to support a very worthy network that we're very proud of. So you can learn more about us on Facebook and everything else. And if you like this podcast, check us out on iTunes. So, hey, thanks for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and our engineer, Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.